into a new word for us this week, a new book for us this week. Devarim. Devarim means words. It's what it means. It's the word. God, Moses was there to give the word to Israel as they were going into the new land. Here they were at the border, ready to go in and do battle to take Canaan. And what does Moses speak to them? Does he give them this rousing battle speech? Does he give them the go get them, guys? No, what he gives them is the laws. Because that's where the victory was going to emanate from. That's what was going to give them the victory. So Deuteronomy was that summary of the laws and the covenants as given in the first four books. Think of it this way. You give someone instructions to do something, and you're about to leave, because that's what Moses was going to do. He was about to leave. He was already told by the Lord, you're going to be taken. You're not going into the land. So he knows he's about to leave, and he's giving instructions to those. What would you do? Before you left, you would review and recap everything you needed to be done before you go. Oh, and by the way, make sure you turn off this light. And by the way, make sure you do this and close the door and lock the door and make sure the windows are locked. You'd review everything you needed done before you left. Well, that's what Moses is doing here. He's reviewing all the things Adonai has already told them so that when he leaves, they would remember it. Hopefully. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. You'll have to read and find out. So Moses is preparing for the end of his life. He gives him the word. And Adonai's word is very specific. Now, I'm not talking about all the things that you need to do according to the word, but it's very specific in that we're to listen to the word and surrender ourselves to the word. It's not like you can listen and then say, yeah, I got it. You told me to do this, and then I'm just gonna do this and this also. I'm just gonna add a little bit to it. I didn't like that part, so I'm gonna leave that out, but I'm gonna do this and this as well. That's not the way to listen to the Lord. It's not the way that we're meant to follow the Lord. In fact, Proverbs is my first scripture for the day. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool finds no delight in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. And isn't that what it is when you go, oh, but I'm going to do that, but I'm also going to do this. I'm going to do that, but let me just leave this little piece off and then do it this way instead. Because that's your opinion. This way is better, Lord. I know you told me to do it this way, but this way is better. That's a fool. Sorry, people, when you do that, you are being fools. You are being foolish. A desire to change the Lord's word is an indication that you don't understand the word. Or you don't understand the nature of God. Because if you understand the nature of God, you would follow his word. Why? Because the nature of God is perfect. And his word is perfect and always has victory and always is correct. So if you're one who wants to change it, it's because you don't trust him or you don't understand him. And we're not supposed to understand everything about God, but we need to understand and trust enough so that we'll follow his word. It makes no sense to me to read it and not follow it. And maybe it's just me. But I would think that every believer in this room and every believer watching online today has to believe the same thing. How can you read his word and not follow it? It's a fool who says it's just a good starting point and then moves off into his own direction. That just doesn't work. But that's what a lot of people do. Surprisingly, that's what a lot of believers do, or at least those who call themselves believers. Ezekiel 33 tells us this, and this is an example of what how this happens. Ezekiel 33:30. Now, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses. Each one speaks to one another, each saying to his brother, come now, hear the message. Is hear what message is coming forth from Adonai. So they come to you, as people come, and sit before you as my people, and hear your words. But they do not do them. For with their mouth they express doting love, but with their heart they go after their own dishonest gain. Hey, let's go to synagogue and hear what the Lord is saying. And then they walk out and they go, not the word for me today, though, but I'm sure it was for someone. That's mocking God. That is just mocking God. It's the desire to follow your flesh instead of following the Lord. And it's because your flesh has a certain, I don't want to call it a personality, but it certainly has its own pull. Your flesh, regardless of who you are, has its own pull on your life. And each of us has its own flesh. And each of us has that flesh has its own pull. So for some, that pull is going to be, towards profanity, towards drinking, towards pornography, towards anger, whatever it may be. And it's our job to hold it down, to hold down the flesh, because the flesh wants to fight us all the time. But it's our job to hold it down. Now, it's when we don't hold it down that we mock the God, whether we're really intending to or not. It's when we allow our flesh to rise up and do whatever it wants to do. That's when we get in trouble. When we're not listening to his words, his devarim, that's when we get into trouble. Now, this portion is really very timely because of Tish B'Av. So let me go into a little bit of what Tish B'Av is, first of all. Tish B'Av, the ninth of the month of Av, is a day when a lot of big-time tragedies fell upon our people in the past. All on the same day, more than just a consequence, just a coincidence. It all happens on the same. And it's understood that it all happened because of one event. It all started because of one event. There are 27 verses in Deuteronomy 1 regarding this one event. It's the sending out of the spies and the bad report that they brought back and the people accepting that bad report. 27 verses, no smaller insignificant thing. It shows an importance. So let's skip down to Deuteronomy 1:34 and just take a quick look at this. When Adonai heard the tone of your words, he was angry and swore an oath, saying, not one of these men of this evil generation will see the good land that I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He will see it, yet to him and his children I will give the land that he has walked on, because he has followed Adonai wholeheartedly. That's what it takes to win in the Lord, a wholehearted heart. But the people who came out of Israel were ready to cross into the promised land. didn't have that wholehearted heart. And because of that, they were turned away and had to walk for 40 years through the wilderness. And you say, that's pretty bad, 40 years in the wilderness. I wouldn't want to be camping for 40 years. But it's only the start of it. Because on that same day, on the 9th of Av, in 587 BCE, which is about 3338 in the Hebrew calendar, the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. And then, in 70 CE, the second temple, on the same day. And then 1 year later, in 71, that same ground where the temple was turned over so that even the stones weren't above ground anymore. And then in 135, the Bar Kaba army was destroyed when the last fortress of Batar was destroyed, all on the same day. In 1290, King Edward I of England expelled all the Jews from England. In 1492, the Jews were expelled from Spain by Queen Isabella. In 1670, the last of the Jews left Vienna because of an expulsion order. In 1940, Himmler presents his plan for the final solution. In 1942, the Nazis begin deporting Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto to the death camps. It's got to be more than coincidence. It's because they weren't listening to the word. From the time they came out, the time they were supposed to enter into the promised land, there was a foolish heart in our Jewish people. And we see in history over and over again, things happen on this day, the 9th of Av, tomorrow. God, nothing tomorrow, please. But will there be more events on the 9th of on the Tisha B'Av in the future? I don't know. What will bring an end to all this stuff happening on Tisha B'Av? I think the answer is in our Haftorah portion today. Let's take a look. Because in Isaiah 1, I'm going to go there in a moment, Isaiah is speaking to a fallen Judah and Jerusalem, the northern and southern kingdoms after Solomon's son takes over and the kingdoms are split. Remember, Jeroboam is reigning and the kingdoms split. The northern kingdom, Israel, is being not very good boys, girls. They're not listening to their God. They're not following their God. So the words of Isaiah 1:18 and 20 were spoken, and they still stand today. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says Adonai. Though your sins be like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will become like wool. If, here's how, if you are willing to obey, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Adonai has spoken." That's a hard word. That's a hard word. Rabbi, you mean all these things that have happened in history is because they didn't listen? I think so. I don't want to be the... I'm not the judge. But I hear at the beginning, everyone agrees that it all started with the spies not entering the land and having a heart that didn't want to follow wholeheartedly. And here in Isaiah, it says, if you're willing and obey. I want to take a little rabbit trail for a moment. Who saw the debate between Shmuley and Dr. Brown? They had a debate on the internet. And you might want to go back and take a look, see if you can find it. It was fairly interesting, as their debates normally are. And Shmuley was saying, and this was the center of the debate, that the new covenant is anti-Semitic. And his point was, as long as you're telling me that the only way to righteousness and to eternity is your way, basically, he said, is your way through who you consider Messiah, it's anti-Semitic because you keep pushing us to do something we don't want to do. And I kept yelling at the TV because Dr. Brown didn't want to say this. Is it more loving or anti-Semitic to tell our Jewish brethren, here's the way to eternal love and mercy? Here's the way that God has always meant it to be. If it's anti-Semitic to say you need Messiah, I don't want to say I'm anti-Semitic, but I'm going to tell you, you need Messiah. But I'm going to do it in a loving way. I'm not taking a club out to beat you with it. But I'm going to bring out Scripture to show you it. And I'll beat you with Scripture, maybe, in a loving way. It says in Isaiah, if you are willing and obey, you will eat the good of the land. Now here's the problem that our Jewish brethren have, is that when Dr. Brown kind of brought this up a little bit, Shmuley says, yeah, but Jews don't think about that. They don't think about eternity, and they don't think about heaven and hell. That's not in our DNA. That's the problem. Because it's in God's DNA. God's plan is an eternal plan. So what you've done is you've said, yes, Lord, I hear you and I'm going to do it, except I'm going to take out this part and I'm going to put in this part. That's not right. That doesn't work. Because God's word is only victorious when you take all of God's word and apply all of God's word laws with an all-encompassing wholeheartedness. That's when his word becomes all-encompassing victorious. Because Adonai's words are true and victorious. And at the start of Deuteronomy, Israel standing at the border at Canaan. And they should know that they already have the victory on that side before they step a foot over the borderline. They already have the victory if they listen and do the words of Adonai. John 15:1 through 3 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he trims so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. They were already clean because of the word spoken to you. Israel, you already have the victory because of the word spoken to you. Karen Orr, you already have the victory because of the word spoken to you. You just need to be willing and obey. It's just the same lesson over and over and over again. Hebrews 3, 7 through 9 says, therefore, just as the Ruach HaKodesh says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Which rebellion? At the border going into the promised land. That rebellion. If you do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, there your fathers put me to test, though they saw my works for 40 years. They saw miracles in the desert for 40 years, and still were hesitant to step out in faith. For us, the power of the words of Adonai are the same. Regardless, he said them then, he means them now, and he'll mean them in the future. They had power then, they have power now, and they will always have power in the future. It says, today, if you hear his voice. Well, think of it as they were standing at the border, ready to go into the promised land. And this was maybe written years later, but it was still true for them then. Today, if you hear my voice. That was their today. At 70 BC, when the second temple was destroyed, today, if you hear my voice, they would have had victory then. Today, 2,000 years later, today, if you hear his voice, you will have victory. We need to hear his voice. We need not to let the lessons learned slip through our fingers. Because the lesson is brought current to us by Rav Shaul, Paul, in Hebrews. In Hebrews 4, we bring that up to current. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Let us not fear then, though a promise of entering his rest is left open, some of you would seem to have fallen short. For we also have had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the word they heard did not help them, because they were not unified with those who listened to them. So, let's go to the Amplified Version, because that one's a little murky. That's the Tree of Life. I like the Tree of Life, but the Amplified really amplifies it. So listen to this. For indeed, this is verse 2, I read 1 and 2, here's verse 2, repeated back. For indeed, we have had the good news of salvation preached to us, just as the Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it was not unified with faith in God by those who heard. Those who had faith then were Joshua and Caleb. They just needed to be unified with them, and they would have had the faith to step over the border when they were told to step over the border. That was their today. When is your today? Your today is today. Your today may be tomorrow, but your day today is the day you open your mouth to proclaim the good news to someone who doesn't know it yet. That'll be your today. How many todays do you get? You get a lifetime of todays. because every day you can open your mouth and proclaim good news. You know, in Exodus, we see Moses say to God, I'm not a man of words. I'm not a man of words. But in Deuteronomy, the same Moses says, these are the words of God. And I bet he said it like, these are the words of God. He went from, Lord, I'm not a man of words. Don't send me. And the Lord had to say, okay, here comes Aaron, your brother. I'll send him with you. Two, these are the words of God. How did he go from, It was God's presence that gave him abilities and the confidence. It's always going to be his presence. It's the Ruach HaKodesh in us that should build us up to have the confidence to speak his words, to do his deeds, to do the things that are going to give us victory in this life as well as in the life to come. So, Tish B'Av, was it due to lack of Torah study or lack of belief? It's definitely due to the lack of not listening to the words of God. Should this be taken as a direct reflection on our Jewish people then and now? No, it's actually a reflection on all people. Let's not narrow it down to just our Jewish brethren. They may have been an example, but they're not the only ones. They may have been an example, but it didn't mean that they were worse than anybody else. The world has words too, you know. And the world wants you to listen to their words too, you know. Negative, death, destruction, violence, scandal, abuse, hate, division, mistrust. Maybe the worst of all, you're the only one that counts. Don't worry about anyone else. You're the only one that counts. The world wants us to listen to their words. Satan wants us to listen to his words and to look within instead of looking without. To help others. To lift up others. If we're looking in, how can we help others? If we're looking to within, I can tell you, if you're looking at your belly button, there is nobody living there but you. It's just not that big, people. But let me throw some good news in here. God listens too. God listens too. God plays by all the same rules we do. He told us to listen. Well, the good news is he listens too. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. Then you will search for me with all your heart. He listens to our prayers when we listen to his words. It's always been, always going to be. Galatians 3:5. So then, the one who gives you the Ruach and works miracles among you, does he do it because of the deeds based on Torah or your hearing based on trust and faithfulness? It's because we listen to the words. Now, does this mean that we throw out the Torah? It just said right there, you know, this is something Shmuley would say. Look, your own word says, does he do it because of the deeds based on Torah? You're throwing away the Torah. That's so anti-Semitic. But that's not what it says. It says, on your hearing, and what are you hearing? You're hearing Torah, and you're trusting Torah, and your faithfulness is to Torah. Don't let people fool you into thinking the Brit Hadashah is anti-Semitic or instructs you to throw away Torah. It does not. It never was, never will be a call to throw away Torah. Yeshua, our Messiah, says that belief in him would set them free from sin. John 8:31. Then Yeshua said to the Judeans who had trusted him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hearing, knowing, trusting the word of God. Hearing, knowing, trusting Torah. Because what does Torah tell you about? Torah tells you about Messiah Yeshua. It points to Messiah. So hearing, trusting, that is where ours we will become free. Adonai was saying at the border of the promised land, if you'll listen to my words and believe me, I will set you free. This side's Egypt, that side's the promised land. This side you were slaves, that side you're going to be set free. Listen to my words and you will cross over and be set free. So we're at a borderline ourselves today. Every day we stand at the border. It's a thin line. On one side is dark. On the other side is light. And we'll have the victory. Every time we will have the victory if we listen to his words. And Karen Orr, it's not your duty just to step into the light yourself. It's your duty to step into the light and bring others with you. That's your duty. That's what we do when we step into the light, hold someone's hand, and bring them with you. Point them to Scripture. Show them God's love. Show them God's love, not just in Scripture, but in your life as well. That's what we do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that you have shown yourself to be the light of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that you've given us your Devarim, your words to live by. Thank you that you not only gave us your words, but then you gave us your prophets, and then you gave us this whole big drash called the New Covenant to explain your Torah, to explain and point us back to you. Ruach, I just ask that on this day that you would touch hearts and you'd bring people closer to you, that they would be able to step over that thin borderline, that they would become from the dark into the light. Put in our mouths your words, your Devarim, so that we can bring others into the light with us. And not for our glory, but for your glory. Always for your glory. I have no words other than to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, that you equipped us to speak for you. You equipped us by your words, and you equipped us by your presence within us. For your words told us, don't worry about what you say when you're dragged before judges. I'll put words in your mouth. Well, every time I speak before a non-believer, they're judging me. And your word says you're going to put words in our mouths. So I will not fear. And I will speak up. And I will proclaim your kingdom forever. I just ask that for each one of us listening online and here today, that we have the words to speak when you give us the situation to speak them in. May we be sensitive to the situation as well as the words and the timing. And we thank you with all our heart. We praise you with all our soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.